It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think a conversation that bears more dialogue on the station is what are you going to do at the number three quarterback? Because I'm kind of fascinated at this idea, this group of people who are intrigued at trading DTR and keeping Tyler Huntley.
Why?
Because I don't understand why you would keep Tyler Huntley.
I don't either.
I think Tyler Huntley is a nice second or third string backup in the NFL, but specific to this room, I don't think you need three veteran quarterbacks. And I know people are going to say, what everyone's going to say is, well, but Nick, you needed five quarterbacks last year. Okay, but if we start talking about the long-term health of the quarterback position, why would you not want the younger, cheaper player who has more upside and who honestly today is a better passer, even as a second-year player coming off a up-and-down rookie season? DTR's already a much better passer than Tyler Huntley ever will be.
Yeah, Huntley is, you know, a middle-of-the-road fringe roster quarterback.
Yeah, like he was the backup in Baltimore for, what, 3 or 4 years?
I'm not denigrating the guy because it's really hard to be a quarterback in the NFL, and he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that DTR is a better option than Huntley.
Yeah, well, my thing with Huntley is he was a backup in Baltimore because they were going to have to pay Lamar. And they found a young quarterback who fit within the system that they had initially with Greg Roman, but a guy who, like, in terms of his arm, I mean, we're talking Cody Kessler week. It is one of the weaker arms in the NFL, almost to the point that I don't trust him to make a 15-yard pass. Like, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful because Tyler, I mean, you know the amount of work it takes to be there.
Yeah.
But I then look at DTR and I'm like, well, he's young. He's learning the habits that you need to be a good quarterback in the NFL. And this obsession with, I'd rather a veteran, if they're on the same level, a veteran who's at his ceiling versus a rookie who's halfway there if they're comparable players. I don't get that. Like, for a third string quarterback, give me a guy who might have a chance to grow into, even just a backup. If by next year DTR is your backup and you're good to go with him for the final 2 years he's on that rookie contract, it is a ridiculous success versus Tyler Huntley, who you're just starting to get into a one-year window with your quarterbacks, and that is not a – even with backups and third stringers, that's not a place I'm wildly comfortable with.
No. I mean, how could anybody be comfortable with that scenario?
Yeah. Well, because my big thing with this is I want you to be able to, let's say this year doesn't go the way you planned with Deshaun, whether it's injuries or whatever. All right, well, then I want the young quarterback who's been developing for 2 years with his coaching staff, and then I want another young quarterback. Like, at some point, I'm not here to have Jameis and Joe save you every single year. At some point, there's got to be at least one or two guys on this roster that you have a hope of maybe passing the baton to by the end of this 5-year contract. If it's just, Well, every single year we're going to run through, well, this year it's Jamison Tyler, and the next year it's going to be these two veteran quarterbacks on one-year deals, and maybe the year after that. At some point, you're going to have a year where Pittsburgh is, where everything is a clean slate. I don't love that at all. Because Pittsburgh didn't just lose Kenny Pickett, and rightfully so. They lost Mason Rudolph. They lost, there's another quarterback I can't remember off the top of my head, but they lost three guys who had been in that situation for 3 years. And you can tell me, well, okay, none of the three are good enough to start. That's not the point. You don't want to have to be rebuilding your quarterback room literally with every single player new there, because that's another spot that we don't talk nearly enough about with the idea of continuity. And so I don't see the value in Snoop Huntley for this roster. I always thought it's a good camp arm to have in, another veteran in that room to help DTR, maybe another friendly personality, non-threatening personality for Deshaun. But I always felt like this whole thing was maybe like a long-term, maybe a short-term, mid-term hedge bet. Well, let's sign him in March, and if somebody really needs a quarterback, maybe we get a fifth-round pick for him. I haven't seen anything from anybody that makes me think that should, realistically, because the Zach Jackson report is why we're having this conversation, where Zach said they're going to take calls on DTR. Okay. What do you get for DTR? Is somebody going to give you, we can get the third-round pick for DTR? You get a fourth-rounder for DTR? I don't see how he's amassed this kind of value.
And even if he had that value, what's that do for you now?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's
what's a fourth-round pick in, August or September?
With a quarterback that you liked enough to bring in and then start multiple games last year and give a second crack at it before he got hurt again. Or, sorry, he got benched the first time before he got hurt at the end of the season.
He's not going anywhere. The organization likes him.
Yeah. 216-474-0092. DTR or Huntley, where do you guys land on who should be the third quarterback? Cool Ray, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, what's up? What's up, fellas?
Not much, buddy. What you got?
I like Huntley, 100%. And it's had nothing to do with DTR skills or any kind of skill set. It's just more or less right now they brought in a backup quarterback, so he didn't even win that job. You're talking about a third-string position. So, and if, let's say, Deshaun Watson.
Tyler Huntley didn't win that job either.
But they brought someone else in to be the backup. We're talking about the third string quarterback. Yes, an anomaly happened last year where we went through, a bunch of quarterbacks. But my thing is this, is that if DTR, if Deshaun Watson stays healthy, he's our starting quarterback for the next 4 to 5 years. You're wasting away this young man's talent. So if you can get him, if you can get something for him, and maybe give him an opportunity to start somewhere else or compete for a backup somewhere else, why not do that if you can get a draft pick? Because initially you're talking about the third string. You're not talking about the second string or third string. Your hope is he can hope to come in and beat out someone to be the backup.
So real quick there, what's the value that makes a DTR trade worth it? Are we talking a sixth or seventh round pick? Is that moving the needle for you?
It depends on what the team needs. If you think you may need a wide receiver that you can probably get in those rounds, if you think you may need a backup left tackle or something in that, and if you think that that's more vital than a third-string quarterback, then absolutely it moves the needle for me.
I respectfully disagree, Cool Ray. The idea that DTR didn't do enough last year to beat out Jameis Winston, or that they brought in Jameis Winston and that is somehow held against DTR. I think Jameis is here because of Deshaun. He's not here because of DTR. Do you agree with that?
Pretty much, because I think Jameis gives you a chance if he goes in, where Deshaun, let's say Deshaun has a setback or something significant to the point where he may miss a large portion of the season. You feel a hell of a lot better about Jameis Winston keeping the thing afloat than you do about DTR, who's a prospect. He's a young guy who maybe will turn into something someday, but nobody wants to put DTR in the starting lineup with the Cleveland Browns for 10 games.
If
it's just not fair.
If and, Deshaun,
and for, sorry, Nick, our, for our expectations to like make the playoffs, if DTR plays, those expectations go way down. What they did is they replaced Joe Flacco with somebody that they think's younger and better.
If Deshaun had played 17 games last year, DTR would be the backup, and I don't think it'd be a question. I don't think they would have brought in Huntley. I don't think they would have brought in Jameis. So it's weird this. And the other thing that I think is a little pie in the sky is, well, you got to do right by the young man. Yeah, teams don't do that. If they're concerned about their quarterback situation and they think they've got a guy that can start in the future, then DTR is going to be here. They're not in the charity of their own hearts. They're not going to go, you know what? Pittsburgh, you don't have a good starting quarterback situation there. We're going to give you DTR for a seventh because this is right. Right, this is good for the kid. This is good for you. I'm trying to think of who is struggling to find a backup quarterback right now. Like, no, that's not really what they're going to do here. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Dustin Fox 37, DTR or Tyler Huntley. I think it's going to be DTR who's going to be here, by the way. I kind of read the DTR thing as, one, just gauging the overall trade value who might have, but two, maybe just trying to put doubt in the minds of any team they're negotiating with on Tyler Huntley that they might just keep Tyler Huntley. I thought maybe that was a strengthening their position kind of ploy there. With that being said, let's welcome on Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What's up, Daryl?
Dustin realizes he's still on radio, right? You don't need to worry about what you look like.
Well, Dustin always like dresses like he is in TV every day. Well, I wouldn't say always, but you do
for the
present.
Most part, I try to look presentable.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And I do the opposite.
I was going to say, I gave that up years ago.
Yeah. Well, the whole point in being in radio is that I can be a fat schlub, and then everybody kind of just goes, that's why he's here.
I mean, listen, I dress, you know, comfortably to work. I just happen to wear, like, stuff that is not that.
Yeah. Wait, what? I'm better dressed than you are today.
Eh.
I have a very nice golf shirt on compared to whatever you got over.
You know what? I love you. And I
eraser phrase.
And you always carry me, Nick, and we'll leave it at that, buddy boy.
Look
so,
at that.
You know what? I'm sorry.
You know what? No, it's fine. I love you.
Love you too.
Daryl. Love you too.
Love you, Daryl.
I just feel the love right now.
A lot of love.
Yeah. It's just like Lion King. Yes, you can feel the love tonight.
Mufasa.
DTR or Huntley, who should we expect to be the third string quarterback?
It all depends on how Andrew Berry is feeling about where Deshaun Watson is. If I said this on the morning show, my take on it is that if you feel like Deshaun is back to himself and you don't feel the need to look beyond the remaining three seasons left on this contract, then I would probably go Tyler Huntley. If you are thinking that there's a chance you may need to look beyond the three seasons left on Deshaun's contract, then I say you keep DTR and continue to try and develop him within your offense behind the scenes so that if you do have to call upon him, or maybe in a year or two you get an even better draft pick via a trade. So I've been kind of going back and forth on this. One minute I'm confident that it's going to be DTR. The next minute, I'm confident that it's going to be Tyler Huntley. And right now, I think it's a coin toss.
So when it comes down to it, is there a difference in what they might be able to expect to get back for either one of those quarterbacks?
I would say that DTR might have a little more value. And when I say a little, I'm really stretching the truth there. Just because of the unknown quantity and the smaller sample size than Tyler Huntley. But, I mean, Huntley did a nice job the other night three touchdown passes in basically what was garbage time of a preseason game. I think that both players have had decent enough preseasons to warrant being the number three quarterback on this depth chart. But yeah, I think DTR, you probably got a better shot at a late round pick than maybe Tyler Huntley gives you.
So, Daryl, the news is that Jack Conklin will move to left tackle at least for, you know, a while or temporarily until Jed Wills is healthy enough to play. I mean, do you think this is a good thing? Is this going to leave a void on the right side, or you feel confident in DeJuan Jones?
Well, they have to do something on that side until Jed Wills comes back because, frankly, they don't have anything that's going to be able to hold down the fort. And the preseason, I feel like Dustin bore that out. I wasn't really impressed with Jermaine Ifedi. I certainly wasn't impressed, you know, with a couple of the other guys that they were trying to take a look at there. You know, James Hudson struggled when he was healthy. So I kind of like the idea of moving Conklin, the veteran, and then having DeJuan stay on that right side. DeJuan, in my view, is still working his way back from his own knee surgery that he had, but at least he's been able to be available for much of training camp here on the field. But if there is someone to fill that void temporarily, I think Conklin makes much more sense than some of the speculation that continues to be thrown out there about, like, maybe sliding Joel Bitonio from left guard to left tackle.
Daryl, is this an audition for Jack Conklin?
I don't know if it's an audition. I think it's just, you know, a chance for them to use a veteran as a stopgap. Now, if things go really well and whatever, then there's really no hurry to get Jedrick Wills, you know, back up and running and out there. And, you know, they can really take time there. But let's be honest about it. If history is any indication, they're going to need all three of these tackles this year. So that's kind of with, you know, not displacing DeJuan Jones on the right side and just moving Conklin over there to hold the fort down for a week or two or three or however long it needs to be, I think is the smart move.
So as we have this conversation about the offense, as we have this conversation about this preseason, you know, training camp, all this, with everything that's going on, would you define this preseason, training camp, whatever, as a positive one for the Browns?
Defensively, I would. Offensively, probably not so much, because I've just not been the least bit impressed with anything they've done offensively. In fact, I couldn't tell you what they do well offensively. It's why I asked Kevin Stefanski last week, the week before last, what they do well offensively. You know, the offensive line's been beat up, so the protection hasn't been what we're accustomed to. No Nick Chubb. The run game doesn't look like what we're accustomed to. The passing game doesn't look like, at least from my view, what it should look like. Granted, they're going up against one of the better defenses in the NFL day in and day out, but, you know, didn't look all that great against the Minnesota Vikings either. So I don't have very many high expectations for this offense early in the season. I think that it's going to be a work in progress early on, with the hope and understanding that come the end of September, they really find their footing and things get really moving in the right direction. And until then, defense is going to have to kind of carry the water and keep them in these games and help them win these games.
Daryl, one of the things that concerns us, it concerns, I think, a lot of fans, is obviously Nick Chubb's health. And that, obviously, is the big factor in the rushing attack. And, you know, the running game, it could struggle with the offensive line, kind of banged up a little bit, moving guys around. Man, I guess we're just concerned that the running game is not going to be as big a factor as it's been in years past because of, you know, we don't know. It's uncertainty with Nick Chubb. And you know, Nathan talked about it, and a lot of people have talked about it. This offense is going to be spread out a little bit more. I don't think it's going to be like a, you know, Hal Mummy type offense, so to speak. That's called, that's the air raid. He started it. But I do think it may put the Browns in a spot where they've got to put a lot on Deshaun early in the year.
I 100% agree with you. It's designed that way. This offense with Ken Dorsey coming in and working with Kevin Stefanski is not the run Nick Chubb and the running backs 35 to 40 times a game offense. It's not designed that way. It's designed, to your point, Dustin, it's designed to kind of spread things out a little bit, create some space, try and find some holes in the defense. A lot of quick passes, especially outside the numbers, take some shots deep down the field to keep the defense honest and stretch the field. The timing patterns that we saw under Kevin Stefanski's offense the first 4 years or so that he's been the head coach here, those aren't really there anymore. That's, you know, the receivers are running choice routes, which means they need to be on the same page and reading the same thing. And reacting, I should say, as well to the same thing that the quarterback is. Because if they're not, then Deshaun Watson's going to throw a lot of interceptions this year. You know, we're going to have a lot of, you know, you zagged when you shouldn't have type thing. And then that's just not going to be good. So there is a lot on Deshaun Watson in this offense. He's going to have to get rid of the football quickly. One, because again, questions up front with the protection. Two, because I think it's really kind of designed that way to get these receivers into some open space and you know, allow them to try and make plays with the football in their hands.
Darryl, what names are we watching heading into cutdown day tomorrow?
Well, really, and you mentioned it, Nick, only one name that, you know, kind of raised eyebrows today amongst the 16 players that were waived, and that was seventh round pick from 2022, Isaiah Thomas, the defensive end there. And typically, if he's waived today, that might mean he may not be coming back, because usually the guys that they want to sneak through to get to the practice squad, they do that tomorrow. So that was really the one that kind of caught my attention. And that defensive line room, Siaka Ika's got a, I think he's on the bubble in my view. I'm curious to see what the back end of the wide receiver room looks like. Does David Bell make it? Does Michael Woods make it? What happens with Jalen Darlin, James Prochet, just, you know, some of those names that we've heard for the last couple of years. You know, what happens to those guys? Because top four spots, or I should say, top four spots in that room are really spoken for with Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy, and Cedric Tillman. You know, offensive line, the backup guys there. You know, Nick Harris is safe in my view. They went ahead and traded for him, so I think he can feel pretty confident that he's going to make this team. But what do the backup guards and tackles look like? And then I'm just kind of looking at the depth chart right now. I'll be honest with you. There's always a surprise. There's no question about it. I don't know that there's going to be too many running back. You know, they got a crowded running back room, too. Jerome Ford's the one. What does it look like beyond him? You know, Dante Foreman, I think they like a lot. He looks really good in those short yardage situations. You know, Pierre Strong, but, you know, do they do anything beyond that?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So I'm expecting a very calm cutdown day tomorrow, which probably means that there will be a surprise or two waiting for us.
So the several Chargers organization members and several players were trapped in an elevator somewhere between the third floor and 15th floor in a, I believe it was Dallas hotel over the weekend. Jim Harbaugh says he wish he had been in there. We got in the conversation of...
Of course he would say that.
We got into the conversation of where that list amongst your terrors. Do you think you'd be one of the calm people if you were trapped in an elevator?
No, I'd be trying to climb out of the ceiling.
Yeah, I'd have to be the one I put down, like knock out, just to make sure the rest of us can chill.
I'd be trying to John McClane it and get out of there as quickly as possible.
So... That's the
I don't like being in confined spaces, if I'm full disclosure. I'm oversharing right now.
You ever had a scare?
See, you can't ask me that now because now I'm gonna have one. Wait, now it's out. Now it's out there in the ether.
Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby?
No, oh, I totally am now putting that on you.
So anything bad happens in the rest of your life.
Hey, listen, tied to this moment. What's the first rule of Fight Club?
You don't talk about Fight Club.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's because they didn't want the Fight Club to get out and the I'm popo saying, to come crack down on it. That's not
I'm very superstitious about this. Now I'm going to have one of these things now. And the first person I'm going to blame is you when it does happen to me.
Okay, so, Daryl, what are you going to do if you win the lottery? Now do I get half the money because I willed it
into
existence?
Hey, I already told you, I have 25 people in my life that if I ever win the Mega Millions that... You are one of the 25 people who will be getting a gift from me.
You know what the funny thing is?
I'm not telling you how big the gift is, but you are one of the 25 people that would receive a gift from me.
I know exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be $5 just to spite me.
No, and it's not. I promise it's not just going to be burgers, teasers, and a milkshake either.
Well, no, because you already owe me them. Just going to tell you, you got lucky today. They lost the first game to the Royals, but don't think I'm not looking at that ledger every day and just...
You know what? It's got to be moving like a snail for you these days. They've hit a little bit of a pothole the last month or so.
Yeah, yeah.
This should have been done about a week ago.
Yeah, I think they might
They're
just
They're making
be,
you work for it,
they
Nick.
I think they might just be doing it despite my fat ass.
Okay, well...
They might just be like, you know what? He doesn't really... Does he need one? Maybe the Guardians have started.
Maybe they're trying to tell you something.
Maybe that's okay. So it's either out of spite or maybe the Guardians are just looking out for my best health.
They might be.
They're like, he's not young anymore. Obesity's real. Let's go ahead and just drop a couple games and delay the inevitable.
We'll protect your cholesterol.
Give that man a couple extra days with his kiddos. Daryl. You were serviceable today. This was good.
Serviceable?
Yeah. Well, no, I thought
Daryl.
Wasn't that nice?
Hey, Dustin.
By the way.
Yeah.
What happened Friday after the show?
Friday after the show.
Did something happen around 7:15?
Yes, my phone rang and I picked up the phone.
Who called you?
You did.
Oh, why'd I call you?
I'm not supposed to say.
Okay.
Okay.
But the really the answer would be because I told you I would.
Right. Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah. Because that's what friends do.
Not a lot of that going around from what I heard.
You were off Friday.
Daryl.
Daryl, love you, buddy.
Take care, guys.
See ya.
Daryl Ryder there. I like Chase Daniel, the longtime backup quarterback in the NFL. I've always thought he's a great story, and he kind of turned a nice career in college into a good career in the NFL. So now that eraser phrase is out of the way, by the way, I like some of the stuff that he does in the media. I definitely got annoyed over the weekend, though, as reacting to the preseason game in which the Browns, by the way, were down by 14 points, in which the Browns losing the game made them 0-3 in the preseason. Chase Daniel grabbed a highlight of, I think it was Tyler Huntley, on the touchdown pass lately. or late in the game, and he said, forget about the $230 million. Is there a world that Jameis Winston, DTR, and Tyler Huntley are all better suited than Deshaun Watson to run Stefanski's offense for the Browns? And I don't know whether it's low-hanging fruit. I don't know if it's a cheap shot. And call it whatever you like. The tweet kind of annoyed the hell out of me, though.
You're triggered.
Well, I just, because I don't think, like, what's, you're talking about a throw in the preseason. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's, like, and here's the thing. Especially quarterbacks, but former NFL players talk all the time about lazy sports talk narratives. You cherry-picked a okay throw in a preseason game against fours to say, oh, maybe Tyler Huntley's better suited than Deshaun Watson. How? But where's the comparison? Have you seen him in the new offense? Have you seen him? You haven't seen Deshaun all preseason. So it just here's the thing. This is not pro or anti-Deshaun. It's anti-piling on, which is all I feel like a good 30% of analysis on Deshaun right now ever is. So, like, I don't know, man. I do feel like I'm in a weird position to somehow defend Deshaun Watson, which I don't really care to do. All I'm not doing with Deshaun is just, well, he sucks. The contract's stupid. It's the worst trade in history. And I get, like, I don't know what it is in sports fandom that because it's a shorter trip to the most negative conclusion, we'd rather get there so we can just have something definitive, which, like, the whole point of being a sports fan or being an observer or even with the Deshaun thing. Like, am I confident it's going to work out? I wouldn't use the word confident. Like, am I confident that it's not going to work out? Not really. I don't know. It's been a long, strange 2 years, and I'm thankful that he appears to be healthy. I'm thankful that they finally appear to be on the precipice of building an offense that actually fits his skill set and stripping away some of the things that maybe Stefanski was overly loyal to, that just because it worked for middle-of-the-road quarterbacks doesn't mean it works for this. Right? You don't drive a Ferrari the same way you do a Honda Civic.
Oh, I know.
They're both damn good cars. But, like, I don't know, man.
Well, one is a lot cheaper to fix.
That is true. And, by the way, ironically, Deshaun has not been cheaper to fix, so it makes sense.
Fair enough, yeah. Right?
Like,
yeah.
Baker apparently just needed to be in an offense, or just needed to be in a situation that wasn't completely bonkers like he was in Carolina, and all of a sudden he's fixed.
He just needed better tires.
Yeah. And whatever an offensive line is, would that be a grill? I don't know. We're getting lost in the sauce here. But, no, I mean, I think
grill is something different.
Well, because it's the protection. It protects
the... Oh, I was thinking about, like, the Lil Wayne grill or something like that. I don't even know if he has a grill.
I'm at the front grill in cars. But I guess you could say, like, bumper. I don't know. Again, we're very much getting lost in the weeds.
Sorry.
And no. It's totally me. I'm taking it there. But, no, I mean, I just think, like... Am I hoping for something definitive to come out of this year? Of course I am. Who wouldn't hope that he is better this year, or that he gives us 14, 15, 16 games? Frank, I have a feeling this is going to end up in a little bit of a Donnybrook here, but what do you have for us, Frank?
I guess you just used the word. We're all hoping. We're all sitting here hoping and waiting and expecting that maybe Deshaun Watson will have a good year, but we don't know, so we have to talk about both sides of the coin.
Well, yeah, and but I think, so real quick, Frank, yeah, I'll give you a chance to answer this. But this is specifically about an NFL analyst who played quarterback in the NFL speculating about three quarterbacks who've played in the preseason versus a guy who hasn't in an offense that isn't Kevin Stefanski's offense. So it's less that you and I are in agreement with Deshaun at the same point saying, well, these other three guys might be better. It's like, where's the analysis there? What are you basing that off of? I think that's where my annoyance is.
Yeah, well, maybe he's thinking about it from the standpoint that those other three guys aren't expected to do anything other than just run the offense and throw it when they're supposed to throw it, whereas Deshaun, at times, tends to hold the ball, doesn't appear to make quick decisions, and appears to run around to try to overmake a play. Maybe that's what he's saying. I don't know. But
go ahead.
I'm uncertain about Deshaun Watson. All the fans should be. It's one of the reasons why it would have been great to see him play in the preseason. But according to Kevin, he's ready to roll. So I guess we'll find out in 2 weeks.
Frank, we appreciate you, buddy. I think you're giving Chase Daniel more credit than you're giving Deshaun Watson. And that, again, it's fine. And I definitely agree. Like, I know people want to make this a bleep or get off the pot moment. That's not really what this is because of the contract. But would we all feel better if we got something, especially early in the season? Man, we get out those first 4 weeks and Deshaun hits the ground running and it's a passing offense and it looks, yes. Should we expect that early? No. Even if you get it, should we take it to the bank? No. It's not about 4 games. It's not about 8 games. It's not about 10 games. It's about 15, 16, 17 games. And then, by the way, he gets through that. We're just going to do it again in the postseason. Like, I'm already willing to meet everybody where we are on this, which is we're going to move the goalposts. And right now it's, can you hit this initial bar? And then it's going to be, here's the next bar, and here's the next bar after that. All right, against Dallas, you have 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 235 yards, you get a win. That's okay, that's cool. Now against Jacksonville, can you take it up one more half step? I totally understand that there is going to be some natural, is this good enough? Is this what we traded for? Is this acceptable? But it just felt, and I don't know Chase, so I don't want to go too heavy on it, but it's that kind of stuff of, well, I saw a guy throw a touchdown pass in the fourth quarter of a preseason game. Could he be better than Deshaun Watson, the $230 million man? And by the way, Jameis did not look good in that game. So I don't know where Chase is coming from in what seems like maybe he has an axe to grind. That if it was just pure objective analysis, which is tough with Deshaun, I do know that, it wouldn't bug me. There's nothing about this tweet that was objective over the weekend, and it annoyed the hell out of me.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.